Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. This is an episode about Mount Rushmore, my take on it, and I've actually broken it up into two episodes because one is for people that are living and another is for people that have passed away, no longer here. The original Mount Rushmore are dead presidents. Be that as it may, the hobby, we're not restricted. This is a mythical, conceptual Mount Rushmore that I've heard talked about. In fact, I was on Card Mentions every other Friday night. Danny Black and John Newman have a call-in show. I was on there. They were talking about Mount Rushmore, and that was fun. I was thinking about taking outtakes from that, except that it went on for an hour and a half, and this was a great discussion, but I figured I'm going to reorganize my thoughts and give a little more time to some of the people that I think really are worthy, and that was a fun show. I encourage you to do that, so I'm taking some of that from this, but I'd collected my thoughts knowing that they were going to talk about that, and obviously they wanted to put me on Mount Rushmore, but I'm very much alive, so that not an issue. So I've got 12 deceased guys, and then the next episode I'll do 15 living guys, not all of whom would make Mount Rushmore if it were chiseled today. But again, they're still alive, and some of them have already done great things, and more is expected at some point in time. So the Mount Rushmore concept, number one, they're all dead. Number two, it's the epitome of a small hall. They talk about the Small Hall of Fame. It's a very small hall. They're only picking four, so very limiting. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, you'd have trouble only doing four in baseball. So it's the epitome of a small hall. You have to also take into account that person's role. If they were a leader or if they had a business partner or something like that, it's like in the Hall of Fame or MVP voting. If you split votes, it's certainly one point in time. And with the deceased guys, I can do that right now. But of the living, I won't. The other thing is I note that I'm actually doing it in alphabetical order. The presidential Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, I don't think is in any order. George Washington's on the left side, and I think Abraham Lincoln's on the right. So it's not in chronological order. It's not in order of importance. I don't think that's why I'm presenting these in alphabetical order. But first, thanks. Sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck Heritage Auctions, Huggins & Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, ComC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. Okay, here are the deceased guys. Again, not doing it in preeminent order, but just in alphabetical order. But interesting, as we do it in alphabetical order, it turns out the first two names I've already done tributes to are Jefferson Burdick and Cy Burger. I've already done tributes for many of these that are deceased, but they are the only two for sure first ballot Mount Rushmore in my mind. I knew Cy Burger. I didn't know Jefferson Burdick. And with Jefferson Burdick, he wasn't the only early pioneer, but as Mookie Chilson mentioned the other night, is that he's like the Charles Darwin, the origin of the species, the classification of all these different types of sets and survival of the fittest and constant gradual evolution. So that's what happens in our hobby. But I note that Cy Burger had Woody Gelman, who was his graphics buddy, that they jointly were responsible in 52, but Cy endured and really had that player connection. So Cy is more known. Same thing with Jefferson Burdick. He had many contributors. Buck Barker, Stanley McClure, Lionel Carter, John Wagner, not Honus, but John Wagner, the collector John Wagner, and many others. There were other very noteworthy collectors that were of assistance. Just I can see the things that I've done, I had lots of great contributors. Anyway, so Burdick and Burger are in. And then number three, actually, I have another one that's a little bit controversial. To me, it's Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, not a collector, but still a force 28 years after his passing, is still iconic. And if you want people to go look at the Mount Rushmore, putting Mickey on there is probably better than Cy Burger and Jefferson Burdick and anybody else you might come up with. And again, he's almost synonymous in the public with collecting, certainly for vintage baseball cards. He's the first thing you come up with. Now, I mentioned on the episode that Honus Wagner would, if you had done this Mount Rushmore back in 1975, Mickey Mantle was still strong, but Mickey Mantle really came on strong in the late 70s is when his 52 Topps card really took off in actually it was in 1979. I was there in Philadelphia when three in a row went for $3,000 each, which was gasping. People just couldn't even believe it. But Honus Wagner was the first iconic baseball card, the T206. It was the first card for which a bounty was published. And I don't think it was ever, it never was pulled the trigger. But as I recall, my friend Charlie Brooks from the Sport Hobbyist had a bounty, and it was $250, and then it was $500, and I think he wound up with $1,500. It drove interest, and he had ads in some places where it increased the visibilities. Anyway, so my 1, 2, and 3 are Burdick, Berger, and Mantle. Okay, and then I'll go the rest of them in alphabetical order. Let's see. Mike Berkus. Okay, Mike Berkus would be considered the father of the National. Actually, Gavin Riley and Steve Bruner, and then later Jack Petroselli from LA were partners in that. But Mike was just a master promoter. Gavin Riley was the first guy that I was in contact with. Super solid guy, fabulous collection. But Mike really had the enduring presence, and everything he did turned out bigger. He made things bigger. And so Mike would be very worthy of being on again. I'm locking in 3, and Mike is a strong candidate for the 4th, even though, as I said, he had some associates who were outstanding as well. Next would be Warren Bowman. Didn't know him personally, but the battle between Topps and Bowman, Topps won. And as I said the other day, that the victors write the history, and Warren Bowman's contributions have to take a backseat to Sideburgers representing Topps. Number 6, Lud Denny, controversial one. I've done some episodes about him. He single-handedly took football cards to the next level. And that was a big deal for me, for our company, and for the hobby, for hobby shops. If all the cards would have been mainly baseball, and football and basketball being an afterthought, Lud Denny, by strength of persuasion and literally throwing his weight around and just not accepting no for an answer when he went to New York and came back with a license. He didn't do everything right, but we should appreciate his contribution. Larry Fritsch, if it was a dealer Mount Rushmore, he would absolutely go on there. He was the most noteworthy dealer that I recall from the 70s. There were Bruce Yetko and Sam Rosen from the earlier days, but Larry Fritsch endured even after he passed, then Jeff, and now if something has the pedigree of coming from Stevens Point in that barn, which I saw, which was one of the 7 collecting wonders of the collecting world. Next, Barry Halper. If there's a memorabilia Mount Rushmore, he would be on there. He had great hospitality, went up to his house, saw his collection, which was just absolutely fabulous. It's been distributed now, some of it to the Hall of Fame and some of it through auction, but an amazing guy who not just was a great collector, but he loved the sport. Richard McWilliam, getting up to the M's here, gone too soon. Be interesting to see. I'm wondering if he would have made it. He died untimely. He died younger. He probably was pretty close to my age, and I consider that I have some more life expectancy. But very disappointing. He had really a lot of discipline and wisdom for growing a brand from nothing, and that's to be admired. And just I'm disappointed that he wouldn't have been around for longer to cement his further position. Again, a worthy candidate. But we will see. It's not a democracy. I don't think it's going to get voted on. Next is Frank Nagy. At one point, I think had the best collection in the country. He had one of the best, and then he bought out the other guy that had one of the best, Walter Corson, I think. And just not even an apocryphal story, because I went over to his nice house, but not a demonstrative house where he had his cards in the room in these cabinets and things, and it was really cool. But he was a legendary figure in the Detroit area and around the country. Let's see. Oh, Alan Rosen. I used to be good buddies with him, and then I wasn't, and then I think we probably had a little bit of a meeting of the minds. But he was larger than life in many ways, and he was very intense. If you were friends with him, he was super loyal to his friends, but if he was mad at you, you definitely knew it. He wasn't going to come to the show unless he could have the table number one and have first access to any walk-ins with any collections or cards for sale. And he had his Ben Franklin $100 bills proudly displayed in his showcase that he was happy to trade for your cards. And then the Honus Wagner being, again, like I said, the first real quest, the mystique of the Wagner of any time somebody brought in T206s. And this is from the 70s. There was something, could the Wagner baby be in there? Again, of all the cards, when you look at the Mickey Mantle 52 Topps, that's a fabulous card. It's not as tough as what people think. It's tough in really good condition, but the card that you don't even, it may be the only card where you don't even care what condition. In fact, it doesn't even have to be a whole card, as we've seen in some of these auctions. The Wagner made T206 be one of the iconic sets in the hobby. And frankly, and I mentioned this, is that Jefferson Burdick, T206 is not even really a set. It's several sets. because a different cataloger could have cataloged in a different way and made each of the American Tobacco brand backs a different set, which would have made it a lot easier to get a complete set. But then it would have been confusing. But if he could have categorized, but he didn't. He did white borders, and then he did gold borders, and he did some of the other things. So it wasn't a no-brainer just to say, hey, I'm going to do, again, they're unnumbered, the checklist, some of the things. We have more access to information, digitally especially. But in those days, you just write letters. You weren't even generally talking long distance on the phone. Even that was prohibitive. Cards didn't cost that much. But collectors, I think, were just as dedicated, and it was a lot more difficult to accumulate a collection. Even though it didn't cost as much, you had to really be, as Leighton says, you have to be a treasure hunter. Like I said, a little bit controversial. Not as controversial as what I'm going to do in a couple of days with the people that are not deceased. But of the deceased guys, I really could see Burdick, Berger, and Mantle, and then pick one of the others. I don't know who that would be. I don't want to play favorites. Like I said, I've done tributes for almost all of them, and they're all worthy of respect and honor, even though you just don't have to live very long to realize that there are no perfect people out there, especially people that are still alive. In many cases, they have detractors. But hopefully we're doing more good than bad. And I think that every single person there, I think, really made contributions. And if they made a mistake, that it was more outweighed. Every one of the presidents, whether it's Washington or Jefferson or Roosevelt or Lincoln, they're revered now. But back in the day, Lincoln lost so many elections before he got to be the president. And he was there at this pivotal time. George Washington is equally famous for leading America and for stepping away. But again, very worthy of honor. And so are all these guys. Thanks, everybody. Be back again in a couple days with the not deceased, the future potential for a Mount Rushmore, which I don't think is going to happen, but we'll see. Thanks. The man in the house.